I'm Fred Child. I've moved across the hall to the big room here at APM Central, the Mod Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio, where pianist Alessio Bax is joining me. And Alessio, I have to say, we've heard some of your concert recordings on PT for several years now. Great to finally meet you in person. Welcome.
Thank you. Such a pleasure to be here and to meet you in person.
Now, you grew up in the town of Bari in Italy, which is on, if you look at Italy as a boot, it's kind of on the back of the heel.
Exactly.
It's a coastal town.
Yes.
Did you grow up in a musical family?
No, not at all. My parents, I think they liked music, but they never played any instrument. So I got off to a very strange and casual start.
So what got you going on the piano?
It was actually Christmas time, and my parents went to the toy store, and apparently it was so crowded everywhere in the toy store except the musical instrument aisle. And they loved music, so they thought, you know, let's get him a keyboard and see what happens. And I just couldn't get my hands off this keyboard. So they realized, you know, I had the love for it. And
this was a toy piano?
Yeah, a little toy electrical keyboard.
Do you still have it?
They still have it in my parents' home.
So at what point did you think, you know, playing the toy piano is one thing, but I want to play a real piano?
Well, my parents realized that I was spending most of my day on this toy piano, so they called up a few teachers, and I really, really wanted to play the organ. I had heard the organ growing up in church, and I loved the music. I loved Bach as a little child already. And so I started taking organ lessons and solfège and theory. And then when it came time, when I was 9 years old, to enter the conservatory, I wanted to enter as an organist. Mind you, I still couldn't reach the pedals. That was my big obstacle at that point. And in the conservatory, you have to take 5 years of piano in the organ program before switching on to the organ. And I really didn't want to do that. But so, that, you know, I started taking piano lessons because I had to. And I'm still taking those 5 years of piano, hoping to switch to the organ.
And that started when you were 9 years old, and you graduated when you were 14.
Yes, by the time I entered, I was already serious about piano.
And I want to talk much more about your background and your history with music, but I'd love to hear you play a little something. And you have a little Bach to begin with.
Yes, it's Sheep May Safely Graze, arranged by the wonderful Egon Petri. And it's on my back transcribed CD that came out 2 years ago for Signum. And it's a wonderful piece.
Ever play this on the organ?
No.
Well, we only have the piano here, so you'll have to make do with the piano. Alessio Bax joining me here in the Mod Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio, playing this Egon Petri arrangement of Sheep May Safely Graze by Johann Sebastian Bach.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. Alessio Bax at the piano. Alessio, thank you. That was just gorgeous.
Thank you.
Sheep May Safely Graze, which Bach wrote as part of a secular cantata in 1713. That keyboard arrangement by Egon Petri. And Alessio, something you did so beautifully in that performance was something that pianists call voicing. And there are times when the melody is right in the middle and you just have your thumb
That's right.
to play the melody. And I wonder if you could show us a little bit about how you did that and how you bring out the melody.
Sure. I mean, I think that's the major challenge in this piece and in a lot of transcriptions that were originally written for a larger ensemble. The 10 fingers actually work as three different instruments. So, there's different ways to do it, but I think the weight has to be on the main line, and not only one voice needs to be louder than the other, but the articulation has to be different. Interestingly enough, that's what Bach himself did in his own fugues for the Well-Tempered Clavier, to an extreme, actually. That's even harder in those pieces, I think.
And this one is a nice example of it, because you've got your left hand is keeping the chord progression going. Your right hand has this beautiful sort of filigree up on top. And in the middle, you have to get the melody. And the melody is the main thing.
Yes.
And there are a couple of places where you just have your right thumb to play the melody.
Right.
Can you show us how that works? It's amazing. I mean, it's beautiful to listen to, but it's amazing to watch, too, because your left hand is going, your right hand is going, and your right thumb is playing the melody, and your right index finger gets involved a little bit.
And a little bit of the left hand as well, maybe one note, because the stretches are quite big. So the melody is really shared between, it's mostly in the right hand, but shared also with the left hand.
Well, beautifully done.
Thank you.
By the way, this is something that Alessio has on one of his CDs as well, a CD that came out a couple of years ago called Bach Transcribed. Alessio Bax joining me in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Now, earlier you were telling me that as a boy, you really wanted to play the organ, and then you had to take 5 years of piano lessons at school, and that kind of shifted your attention to the piano. You graduated when you were 14 from the conservatory in your hometown of Bari, Italy. At that point, did you know that you wanted music to be at the center of your life?
I somehow, you know, as a kid, when you get into something, you think it's life or death. I mean, you want to be the best at it. I mean, of course, as an Italian growing up, the first love was soccer. I wanted to be a soccer star, but right away I realized I didn't have the skills. So I switched to music, and no one starts music, I think, just as a hobby. You really want to be the best. And then maybe as you grow up, other interests come and change your mind. But for me, I feel so lucky that never changed. So I really feel the same as when I first started playing.
And you mentioned that your parents were not musicians. They just noticed that you had this talent and supported it. A lot of parents might say, you know, it's nice that you want to play music. That's good. But don't try to be a musician. It's so hard to make a living. Did you get any of that?
No, not at all. Probably because they were not musicians.
So they didn't really know how hard it is.
Yeah, and probably they thought that eventually would be able to make a living.
And here you are now doing exactly that.
Yes, I feel very, very, very lucky. I mean, there's so many great talents out there. And then to be able to not only make a living, but live every single day of my life, very close proximity of such great music. It's really, I mean, it sounds a bit corny, but that's what keeps me going.
You have some music by Johannes Brahms to play for us now. This is from a little set of four ballades that Brahms wrote. And this particular piece that you're about to play for us was inspired, at least in part, by a poem.
Yes, and it's a very tragic ballade about, it's a story of patricide. I believe that the son kills the father and slowly tells the mother. And eventually blames the mother for having led him to do that. It's a really dark, dark story. And I think the set of four ballads is one of the most amazing works that Brahms ever wrote. It's a young work, but incredibly powerful. Very few notes, very raw in emotions, but it's really with a lot of pathos, tension, and storytelling, really.
And you're absolutely right. It's a rough story.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think Brahms wrote this set when I first heard that Schumann was admitted into an asylum. And it makes you wonder, because Schumann was a little bit of a father figure, and it was a very complicated threesome relationship going on there with between Schumann, Clara, and Brahms.
Interesting. I never thought about that aspect of it. But yeah, he looked up to Schumann as a kind of father figure. So here's this piece inspired by a poem about killing your dad.
Yes. I mean, I don't generally like to read into music, especially such great music, but it makes you think.
Hmm. Well, let's hear the piece. It's the Ballade Opus 10, number 1 by the young Johannes Brahms, played for us here in the Mod Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio by our guest, Alessio Bax. That rich, dark, emotional music by Johannes Brahms, his ballade Opus 10, number 1, inspired by an old Scottish poem about a man who kills his father and then leaves everything behind, his own wife and children and his mother, leaves it all behind. A very dark poem, and that inspired that wonderful piece by Johannes Brahms. Alessio Bax played that for us here in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. And again, Alessio, I mean, beautiful performance, but great use of voicing. There's one place in there where it's like a dialogue between your left and right hand. And such clarity in those voices that you brought out. Really, really enjoyed the way you played that piece. Thank you.
Thank you, friend.
Pianist Alessio Bax is joining me. Pianist originally from Italy, now lives in New York City. Although, Alessio, you spend a fair amount of time in Dallas. Well.
Yes, I moved to Dallas when I was 16 to go to college. And I stayed on for many years after that and then eventually moved to New York.
Mm-hmm. And in New York, you share a home with your wife, who's also a pianist. And this actually goes back to 1997, when you were at a music competition in Tokyo?
In Hamamatsu, in Japan. Mm-hmm. And it was a very interesting story because, of course, I'm from Italy. My wife was born in Montreal, of Korean origins. And at that time, I was living in Dallas, Texas. We met in Japan, and my wife was living in Italy. So we obviously met because of common friends, but it took a long time to make it work, as you can imagine.
Now, you were in this competition together, and it was just kind of a happenstance that you wound up in the same rehearsal room because your names begin with letters that are close to each other. Do I have the story about
it? My wife's name is Lucille Chung, so They went in alphabetical order, and all that group of Italian pianists or pianists that were studying in Italy at that time was one after the other. So we all heard each other's playing and we were always hanging out together, sharing lots of meals and spending time together.
So how is it now sharing a home with another pianist?
It's fantastic, but I think it's because we really like each other and get along well. I can see how it might not work if you just have the wrong mix of people. But for us, it's really fantastic because music is really the main motivation in our life. And we are thinking about music 24 hours a day. And it would be so hard, I think, to be with someone that wouldn't understand or share that. And being two pianists, also, we help each other a lot.
You have three Rachmaninoff preludes for us. I'd love to start with just this first one on its own, the G-sharp minor prelude, opus 32, number 12. What's going on in this little piece?
It's an incredible depiction of Russian landscape. There is a lot of passion, I think, but there's a cold kind of passion, almost that doesn't get out on the surface like you would in, for example, in the Mediterranean culture where I'm from, where you scream and yell, you're everything that's going through your head. So there's the incredible balance that he strikes between coolness and passion.
Let's hear it. The prelude in G-sharp minor, opus 32, number 12, by Sergei Rachmaninoff, played for us by our guest here in the Maud Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio, Alessio Bax.
Thank you.
The Prelude in G-sharp minor, Opus 32, number 12, by Sergei Rachmaninoff, played for us by Alessio Bax here in the Mod Moon Weyerhaeuser Music Studio. Alessio has a new CD of music by Rachmaninoff called Preludes and Melodies, but we didn't hear it from CD. He played that for us right here in our studio. Wonderful performance. Really enjoyed
Thank
that.
You.
The delicacy of the what's going on in the right hand. A lot of melody down below, and this delicate high, it's like the wind whistling over the Russian steppes.
Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Now, you actually have had a chance to tour Russia. Does seeing Russia like that from the inside affect the way you understand this Russian music, or and maybe even the way you play this Russian music?
In a way, I mean, I think Russian music is so incredibly connected with the country itself. And of course, Russia is a very complicated country that's been evolving and changing. But what I think never changes is the soul of the Russian people. And of course, the landscape. When you get out to Far East Siberia, not much has changed. You know, the distances are incredible. I remember between concerts, 50-hour train rides. There's an incredible world and wealth of natural landscapes and incredible cities and people. And it's just huge.
Alessio Bax joining me here in the studio playing music by Rachmaninoff. His new CD is called Preludes and Melodies with music by Rachmaninoff. And you have two more of these preludes, and these are both from the Opus 23 collection. Now, these two have very different character. Interesting to play these two back to back, I think.
Yeah, they're probably two of the most contrasting preludes. The first one is the G-flat major prelude, and it's probably one of the most intimate preludes. It's scored in an incredibly interesting way. It's scored on the middle and upper register of the piano until the real end, as if Rachmaninoff wanted to create a sense of a delicate suspense until the bass comes in and you have these rolling arpeggios that fill the void that was there from the beginning.
So we'll listen for that in this first of these preludes that you'll play. That's the Opus 23, number 10 in G-flat major. And then you'll play Opus 23, number 2 in B-flat. What's the character of that piece?
It instantly makes me think of the big Russian rivers and rolling waves and waters. And there are huge arpeggios in the left hand. It's bombastic. It's big Rachmaninoff fanfare in the right hand. But what I really love is the middle section, where again, it takes the melody in the middle of all of this. And it's a beautifully brooding, singing melody.
All right, let's hear these two preludes by Rachmaninoff. The first in G-flat major, Opus 23, number 10. The second in B-flat major, Opus 23, number 2. Our guest is pianist Alessio Bax.
Thank you.
It almost seems wrong to play that just in the room for me. It seems like there should be a room full of people erupting into applause at the end of that. Alessio Bax at the piano, playing a couple of preludes by Sergei Rachmaninoff. He just played the B-flat major prelude, opus 23, number 2. Right before that, the G-flat major prelude, opus 23, number 10. The one you just played for us, Alessio, it looks like it's fun to play, and you look like you were having fun when you were playing.
Thank you. yes, I mean, it's such a great piece of music, when I come to think of it. It uses the piano in such an incredible orchestral manner, and at the same time, it's so pianistic as well, so it's a pleasure to play.
Yeah, and these, by the way, if you'd like to hear these again, you can hear them on the PT website, online at performancetoday.org, but they're also on a new CD from Alessio Bax called Preludes and Melodies, music by Rachmaninoff. And you wrote the liner notes for the CD, and you said that his music for you is like, at least the preludes, are like visions and landscapes.
Yes, I think each prelude really depicts a scene in Russian life. You wrote them before he left Russia. And the amazing thing, they, even though they can sound narrative, I think they're more like single paintings.
So when you learn these and you get a sense of what you want to communicate, do you picture a particular scene for each of these?
No, I don't think of it as a physical, specific landscape. Mm-hmm. But I think the power that music needs to convey is just the same. Mm-hmm. Probably different artists deal with it in different ways. To some, it might be helpful to picture an actual landscape. But maybe because I've traveled to the area, to me, the music is even more powerful than what the eye can see.
Mm-hmm. I follow you on Twitter. And while you were in Iceland, you were there in June, you were talking about how it's always light.
Yes, it was really breathtaking. I tried to take some pictures, but they just didn't do it justice. It's such an incredible country. Mind you, I mean, I left the Bavarian Alps, which is not, it's not that shabby looking, to Iceland and just blew it out of the water. It was so amazing. I think I'm spoiled for life.
If people want to follow you on Twitter, how can they find you?
I'm at Alessio Bax Piano. Somehow Alessio Bax was taken. I don't know by whom. So Alessio Bax Piano, or on Facebook, or through my website. Mm-hmm.
And the website is alessiobax.com, and that's A-L-E-S-S-I-O is the first name, and last name B-A-X, alessiobax.com. The new CD is Preludes and Melodies, music by Rachmaninoff. He played some of that for us today, and you can get a whole CD's worth of that from Alessio Bax on that new recording on the, is it on the Signum?
Signum label.
Signum label, Preludes and Melodies. Alessio, such a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for coming by. I've really enjoyed this.
Thank you. Likewise. It's great to be here.